Woo! You know, I was spending some time with the Lord this afternoon, and that just feeling just overwhelmed me that He loves me. You know, that He's not given up on me. He's not gone away from me. And even in all my mistakes and everything that I've done wrong, He's still for me. He's still with me. That keeps me going, man. It keeps me rolling. And I just know that I know that I know that if God be for me, who can be against me, right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We've been in the book of Philippians on Wednesday nights. We've been doing verse by verse. And again, just as a reminder, this book, Paul's writing to people that he liked. I'm not saying that he didn't like all the other churches that he was writing to, but this one in particular seems to be, it's my joy, and we're going to see that in just a minute. It's my joy to write to you. You are my joy. I'm just joyful. I can't wait to see you again, right? So it was full of joy, but it's also about people's place in Jesus and how we should live out our life in the Lord. Amen? Glory to God. How many need to know how to live your life out in Jesus? Amen? Don't you wish you could just be in His presence 24/7 and never have a struggle and have a problem? And well, that's heaven. This is not. You know, we have struggles, but in the midst of our struggles, we can still put things in action that will actually help. And one of those things is that we got to remind ourselves, this isn't our home. Let me say that again. This is not our home. This is not our end destination. Glory to God. Heaven is my home. And really, when you talk about heaven, it's His presence and being in His presence without any hindrances. Oh, glory. Don't get me talking on that because I'm excited about heaven. I'm not going to get there soon because I plan to live for a long and strong, but I'm excited about going there. Chapter 4, verse 1. Again, here's Paul talking to his homies. He says, "Therefore, my beloved and longed-for brethren, my joy and my crown, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved." And I just love this entrance into this particular chapter. And of course, we know that this letter to the Philippians wasn't written in chapter and verse, that the chapter and the verses were put in there so that we could find things. Right? That's why they were designated. There wasn't, here's my letter to you, Philippians, and chapter 1. It wasn't like that. It was just one flowing letter. But he says, "Therefore, my brethren, my beloved, my longed-for brethren. I was thinking about that. And have you ever been in a situation where you're either flying home or you're flying to see somebody that you haven't seen for a long time, and the excitement that's building up, they're coming home, or I get to see them, or you know, it's just longed for. It's like it's been a long time, but they're coming home. They're coming home. I remember I was in Europe when two of my buddies and I went to Europe. We worked all summer after we graduated from high school. Then we spent 2 months over in Europe just riding around on things. Well, I had a little brother and sister, and I got a letter from my mom. And they were, so I was 18, 19 age, and they were, you know, 4, 5, 6 years old, my youngest brother and sister. And one of them said to my mom, she wrote this in the letter, she said, "Bruce has been gone long enough. It's time for him to come home." You know, and I was kind of homesick. I would admit it to anybody else, but I was kind of homesick, so I just started crying. That was just incredible. But, you know, they longed to see me. And so this is the feeling, longed for. These are my brethren. I long for you. I long to be with you. I long to be around. But listen to what he said. "You're my joy. You're my joy." And why was this particular church his joy? I'm not saying that none of the others were, but this one in particular points it out. "You're my joy." It's because they took a hold of the gospel, they acted on the gospel, and they were living the gospel. In other words, this group was doing what he told them to do, and it was like, it's working. And I'm sure that he saw changed lives. I'm sure he saw the people that were struggling were strengthened, and the people maybe that were addicted were set free, and those that were bound by demonic forces had been set free. And he said, listen, that's my joy. When I just think about all that God did through me with you, it just brings joy to my heart. And he says, my joy and my crown. Did you know that the crowns that you're going to receive in heaven, and everyone is, it's associated with how and what you do with people that are here. You know, it's really not even about how holy you live your life here, because he's the one that makes you holy. So it's not about you and your actions that way, but it's how much you love God and you love people. If you do what he tells you to do, there's a crown for that. And if you love people the way he asks you to love them, there's a crown for that. So it just puts another emphasis on us that we need to be at a place where we're loving God and we're loving his people. So listen to what he goes on to say in this first verse. He says, so stand fast in the Lord, beloved. How many know you got to make a stand and then you got to stand? Ephesians says it this way, having done all to stand, stand therefore. Sometimes the world wants to drag you back to the way you were. Life wants to pull you away from, well, where is God and what's he doing? He didn't answer that prayer. And this is messed up. And how come they haven't changed and all of that? And it wants to pull you away from the very thing that God has for you. But here he says, no, 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 my brethren, stand fast in the Lord. The Lord's got you. He's going to keep you. And he's with you. Amen. So it's not stand fast in your own ability to stand. It's stand fast in the Lord. Glory to God. Don't you like that phrase, in the Lord? You know, I'm Bruce Dugan, the son of Jack Dugan, but I'm actually Bruce Dugan. My earthly father is Jack Dugan, but my heavenly father is God Almighty. So I'm in his family. Jesus said that I'm united with him. I'm combined with him. I'm complete with him. But I'm in the Lord. I'm not outside of the Lord. I'm in the Lord. And I need to live my life like that and stay hooked up and standing firm and fast in that position. Now, I love this. This is really interesting. In verse 2, he says, I implore Euodia and Syntyche to be of the same mind in the Lord. It's like, listen, I want you all to be the same mind. These were evidently leaders in that church. And what he was saying to them is, I want you all to have the same mind or to be like-minded or to be. And it wasn't necessarily Paul saying, I want you to think like I think. What he was saying is, I want you to think like I presented the Lord, because the Lord is the one that used me to present the information to you. So let's be thinking the same way. Let's be laying our lives down for one another. Let's be loving one another. Let's have that same heart and that same mind that I'm not living for myself, but I'm living for Jesus. I'm not serving for my own self-interest. I'm serving because God's asked me to. I'm not loving my children necessarily just because they're my children, but I'm loving them because I am the one that God has entrusted them to me. Right? I'm not just, you know, pastoring a church because I wanted to be a pastor. I'm pastoring a church because I felt like God put me in the position to shepherd people, right? And so it's kind of like, let's have the same mind that Jesus had, but let's also have the same mind that Paul had as he served Jesus. Come on, I want you all to be there. Look at this, verse 3. And I urge you also, true companions, help these women who labored with me in the gospel with Clement also, and the rest of the fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Look at this. He's saying, help these women who were doing the same thing that I was doing, that were helping me do the work that God called me to do. Don't look down on these women. Put these women in a place of honor and help them. Help them what? Help them continue to present the gospel as they presented it with me when I was with them. But this kind of flies in the face sometimes of the women should just keep silent and do nothing and the men are supposed to do everything. That's so ridiculous, because if it wasn't for women, men wouldn't do anything, right? Or get anything done. But Paul's saying, look, he didn't point out the men's name here. He said, here are these two women, and I want you to help them because they helped me. I want you to help them because they are my co-workers in the gospel. Glory to God. Look at again. I urge you that also, true companion, help these women who labored with me in the gospel. Help them what? Help them labor in the gospel. Help them do the work of the ministry. Help them with Clement also and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are written in the book of life. Aren't you glad your name? If Jesus is Lord of your life, your name is written in the book of life. Glory to God. I'm not waiting to see if it's there. I know it's there because He is Lord of my life. Amen. And I believe the gospel, and I believe what it said, and I'm standing on what it says. And it's so tremendous and so good. Now, let's get to verse 4. And these verses are very familiar, but I want you to just listen like you've heard them for the first time. And he says this, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Not rejoice in your circumstances, rejoice in it, all the pain that you might be going through or that you're suffering with. He said, but rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Like I've said this many times, but rejoicing is a choice. You have to choose to rejoice. And sometimes you have to choose to rejoice when you don't feel like it. Like that person who's really irritating and you just want to hit them with a brick. But you got to praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God, praise God. How can you do that when life's hitting you in the face? How is that possible? I think it's only possible if you're continuing in your relationship with the Lord and you're staying in His presence and you're talking to Him and you're reading His Word and you're with Him all the time. Glory to God. Paul later in this has said, man, I've learned in whatever state I'm content. Don't worry about me. I'm good. And he was in prison and been falsely accused, been beaten, shipwrecked, all the things that had happened to him. He said, don't worry about me. I'm content. But watch this. It's in the Lord. You've got to always remember, and when you're going through something, that God is going through it with you. He's with you. He's in you. He's for you. So we can rejoice in Him. And what does that look like? Well, it can look like many things. But sometimes it looks like nothing more than praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I read a book years ago, I think it was by Don Gossett. It said, praise the Lord anyhow. That was the title of the book. No matter what you're going through, praise the Lord anyhow. Just praise Him anyhow. And sometimes that's exactly what it has to be. But you might start out with your teeth gritted and you know, just praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. But if you'll stay with it long enough and you'll put some emphasis upon it and you won't quit until you get the breakthrough, there'll be a time where you push through those feelings and get to the place of your spiritual heart condition where your spirit will start taking over and there'll be just like a outpouring or an outflowing from your belly of praise that will come and it will set everything right. So he's saying rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. He's not saying this if you're having a good day, if you're having a bad day. Always, 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 because it's a weapon that can help you stand in the Lord. It can help you stay in focus of Him being in your life. So stand. Stand. How do you stand? By rejoicing in the Lord. When? Always. And again, I say rejoice. And if you don't know how to rejoice in the Lord, praise the Lord is a good place to start. Hallelujah is a good place to start. Or you can go back to the Psalms where it says, clap your hands, all you people. Just start clapping, right? Praise the Lord. Hallelujah! I'm with God and God is with me. You know, in the Psalms it talks about dancing in the Lord. And other places it talks, play your tambourine or play your timbrel. Or you know, there's so many examples, but you just get back there and start in on it. I've told this story before, but sometimes you just have to get back to doing the things that you know to do. I want to rejoice in the Lord, and in the Lord always I want to rejoice. One time I was, this was years ago, I was going to Bible college. Renita and I weren't married yet, so just a few years ago. And we had made it was a Friday night. I worked swing shift, so I got off like at midnight. We were going to go skiing, water skiing on Saturday at this lake, but we were in Oklahoma, and this lake happened to be like a six-hour drive from Tulsa. And so we left at like 2 or 3 in the morning to go to this lake. And so I got off at midnight, and I thought, you know, why even bother trying to sleep, right? So I thought, you know what, I'll just get into the Bible. And so I went to the Psalms, and I got to the Psalms, and I just opened them up, and I thought, you know, I'm just going to sing the Psalms. And so I don't know how long I went, but I went for a long time. Just I opened them up, and I'm right now in Psalm 62, but it doesn't matter what it was. Truly my soul silently waits for God. From Him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. He's my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. And I'm telling you, I was 45 minutes or an hour doing this, just nothing but this. When they got there to pick me up, I was so gone in the spirit I'm talking about. I was just drunk in the spirit. I was just gone in the spirit that I didn't speak for that whole 6 hours that we went. What did I do? I got in the Psalms and I began to rejoice in the Lord and that Word of God on my lips and coming from my heart. And somehow singing has a way, at least for me, and Renita says living with me is like living in a musical, but singing for me puts it at a different level. I grew up in the Catholic Church, and I don't know if this is scriptural at all, but one nun said one time, she said, well, singing is like praying twice. And it just works for me, right? But I just got in there and began to sing them, and over again, what was I doing? I just began to rejoice in the Lord. And I might have run out of words, but the Psalms, there's quite a few of them. You won't run out soon. But you just begin to worship God, begin to rejoice in Him on purpose. You know, put on your favorite song, that one that sends you into the presence of God. And for everybody, that might be a little bit different, but find that one. Find it and just put it in. Glory to God. And just continue to be there. Glory to God. So you have to rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice, but you have to do that on purpose. And if you're going to do it always, you have to have a plan to do it. Right? Like what we're saying that tonight, and I'm saying that right now, rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. But if we don't have a plan to start doing that today, right now, by tomorrow, that was a good sermon. What was it about? I don't remember. Right? I mean, none of you have ever said that because you're here on Wednesday night. But the reality is that you have to have a plan of action to be a doer of the Word. So, okay, Lord, I'm on it. I'm going to begin to rejoice. My goal is to irritate people with praises. Let me say that again. My goal is to irritate people with praises. Praise the Lord, right? That's exactly right. Praise the Lord. People come up, what's happened to you? Well, praise the Lord. You know, well, yeah, but you don't understand. This happened and this happened. Well, praise the Lord, right? Praise the Lord. Why? Because He's worthy of my praise, number one. Two, He's with me, number two. And I'm going to be doing it for eternity, so I might as well get used to it right now. So I'm going to rejoice in the Lord always. Hallelujah. Let your gentleness or your steadfastness be known to all men, the Lord is at hand. In other words, live your life like you want to be and are an example of who Jesus is and what impact that Jesus has had on your life. Has He been good to you? Okay, yes. Has He been good to you? Well, then act like it. And then talk like it. And then walk like it. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I think sometimes we're like those people that, you know, that everything's right except one little thing that's wrong, and they spend the whole rest of the day complaining about that one thing rather than rejoicing over the nine others. Right? Glory to God. We're good. We've got it good in the Lord. We're living in America. Glory to God. We're worried if we don't have food for 3 months, and some people are worried for the next 3 hours. Glory to God. We all drove here in cars. God has been good to us. There's something that we have in us that we can rejoice always. Now watch this. This is a progression that he's going on. So live like it. Act like it. Let everybody know that there's something different about you. Let the joy that's in your heart, come on, let the joy that's in your heart be known to people by it radiating out of your face. Yes, exactly right. Glory to God. Glory to God. I've told this story before, but I've got the mic, so I'm going to tell it one more time. It is that when I was working in the shipyard, been there, and we were working those crazy 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, didn't have any time off. And we've been there for probably a month and a half doing that every day, and no time off. And we just got out of a safety meeting, and safety meetings were supposed to be for safety, but oftentimes they were used to, you know, tell you what you did wrong or whatever. And so anyway, we got out of one of those motivation meetings, let's just say. And I was working with this fellow, his name was Tom. And, you know, Tom was, sure. And I'm over there just doing my work. He came up to me, he says, "Well, what's wrong with you?" He said, "You were in that same meeting. You've been working the same hours that I have. And you got a smile on your face." He said, "What is it?" I looked at him, I said, "Tom, it's Jesus." It was. It is. There's something different about me. There's something different about you because the Holy Spirit is in us and Jesus is real and He's alive. Come on. So let's act on it. Look in the mirror sometimes and tell yourself you're saved. Look in the mirror sometimes and tell yourself Jesus loves you. Look in the mirror sometimes and say, the power of God is working on the inside of me. Look in the mirror and say, He said He'd never leave you nor forsake you. So get over it. Right? Get on with it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. And you know, you might get tired or you might leave because I'm rejoicing too much. But praise the Lord anyhow, because He's good. He's good. I might not know what I'm doing tomorrow, but I know what I'm doing right now. I'm praising the Lord. I'm worshiping the Lord. I'm thanking God. He's going to make a way where there is no way. I mean, there's some things going on right now that's like, Lord, hello. Hello, I need you here. Lord, I need you. And He's here. I might not see it, I might not feel it, but I know He's here. So I'm going to rejoice in Him anyway. Glory to God. Verse 6. This is a tremendous verse that we all want to have operating in our lives, but it's almost like, really? It says, be anxious for nothing. I looked up the Greek for nothing. It means zip. Zilch, nada, nothing. Be anxious for nothing. What does anxious mean? The Amplified says it something like this. It says, do not fret or have anxiety over anything. That's a pretty tall order. How many have struggles that you're going through, or struggles that you've been through, or you know that you know struggles might be coming up? Right? But don't let anxiety overrule you. Don't let it. Look at, by this, it says a lot to me. It says, be anxious for nothing. So anxiety is a choice. I know it doesn't. Marilyn said it doesn't feel like it. But that doesn't matter. It's a choice. And it's about what you're thinking about the situation and what you're using as a frame of reference in the thing that you're going through. If, just get this picture, close your eyes, and you knew for a fact that God was standing behind you every moment of every day, and that Jesus was right next to you going through with whatever you're going. This is the same guy that paid taxes by fishing, right? He traveled across the water by walking on it, right? He fed his community with two loaves, you know, and a few fish, right? He's the same Jesus then as he is right now. So whatever we're going through, if we know that he's with us, then he's with us. So I refuse to have anxiety over anything. It says, again, be anxious for nothing, but in everything. I like that. Nothing and everything. Really important words. Because you can't do the nothing without the everything. Let me say that again. You can't do the nothing without the everything. You can't be anxious for nothing if you aren't praying about everything. What is prayer? Talking to God. Okay, God, I know you're with me. You know I need this now. You know this is coming. You know what's coming up. You know my leg hurts. You know my arm hurts. You know the people that I'm having to deal with. You know all of that, Lord. But I'm going to talk to you about it. What do you think, Lord? What do you want me to do? What do you want me? Are you really with me, Lord? Just Lord, I just need another touch. Just speak to me, Lord. I'm going to get into your presence right now. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. By prayer and supplication, what is prayer is in general talking to God. But supplication is letting your very need be known to God. Ask Him. Talk to Him. Talk to Him. Keep talking to Him. Right? But know that He's hearing you, that He's listening to you, and that He's a good Father. He's going to take care of you. He will take care of you. Jesus said in Matthew, He said, look at the birds. Okay, folks, look at the birds. Now I want you to look at the lilies. Look at the grass. You're much more important to me than all of those things. And if I take care of them, I will take care of you. It may not be exactly like you want it to be or on your timetable. But you can go through it without anxiety if you'll continue to rejoice in the Lord and talk to God about what you're going through. Come on. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. With thanksgiving, Lord, I thought I was praying. I need some stuff, God. I need some stuff. God, you don't know what I'm going through. Right? God, you have to have a heart full of thanksgiving. Why? Because you can begin to thank Him for what He's done for you. You can begin to thank Him for the last time. You know, oftentimes we go through things that we've been through before and we forget that He got us through them before, so we forget to thank Him for that, and therefore we get into anxiety over what we're going through right now. This is a weapon, but we have to pick it up and begin to use it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And here's another part that I think that we kind of let slip because we don't want to become too religious is that we're not thanking God for everything. Right? Right? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I paid my taxes. Thank you, Lord. 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 I'll tell you this story again. I've said it many times, but it fits here so well. I was at a meeting, first got saved. We're in Bible studies. I didn't really have a church, but I went to Bible studies 3 or 4 or 5 times a week. You know, Bible studies. We were in this Bible study, and there was probably 10 of us. And we're sitting around, and we're worshiping. We, you know, this is back in the days, and this is the day we sang every time, and Hallelujah, some other songs that we sang quite a few times. And then it got to, we usually ask for prayer requests and praise reports. And so this kid gets up, and he's probably 19 years old, 18, 19, 20, somewhere in that range. He gets up, and this person before him, well, I want to thank God that, you know, my bill got paid, or I want to thank God for this, I want to thank God for that, I want to thank God I got saved. And this kid gets up and he says, I want to thank God my car blew up today. Well, there was a man that was there that was a father of one of the friends of mine that was coming, and he was coming to check out the cult that his son got involved in. And finally, that just sent him over the top. He said, wait a minute. You want to thank God for that your car blew up? And he said, yeah, I want to thank God my car blew up. He said, why would you do that? He said, well, the same God who got me that car can give me another car. I want to thank God that my car, because it's another opportunity to watch God work. I remember one of my spiritual fathers, his son was in the ministry with him, and they'd have some tough financial situations. You know, you think about big ministries and how good they are, but you know, there's some ministries that have like a $5, $6, $7, $8 million a month telephone or television bill. Can you imagine the pressure of that? Or they've got this big building project and they need, you know, $10 million to get it done, and so the son went to his father and said, oh, Dad, look at this. We got this coming. And he says, well, he said, son, that's just another opportunity for God to show himself strong on our behalf. Because he was living this. Thank God. God got me through it before. He got me a car when I was walking. He got me a house when I was renting. He got me a church when I needed one. He got me on TV. He'll keep me on TV. I'm going to rejoice in the Lord, but I'm also going to pray and give the specific things that I need, but I'm going to do it with thanksgiving. Don't let your request be made known by God without thanksgiving involved in it. What are you thanking Him for? You're thanking Him that He hears you. You're thanking Him that He has a full supply. You're thanking Him that He will pull you through. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory. I think we ought to just live there. Live in faith that He's with us. Amen? He's for us. Watch this. If we can do that, watch this. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. See their connection. The first word there is and that connects this thought with the last thought. Right? And if you do this, if you rejoice in the Lord, and if you talk to your fear and say, fear, you have no place here, I refuse, I'm going to choose to trust God. It doesn't matter if it's at 12:30 at night, I'm going to trust God, and I refuse to be anxious, and I'm going to be, you know, thanking Him and doing all the things that we just talked about, the peace of God. Now watch this. This is so good. It says the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, it means you can't figure it out, will guard your heart and mind through Christ Jesus. The Amplified says it this way. It will mount a garrison around your heart and your mind. Think about that for just a minute. How many know there's a lot of thoughts that go through that noodle of yours? Right? That noodle of yours gets you in more trouble. Mine too. But watch that. That's where the battle is. But if we're trusting God, if we're rejoicing in Him, if we're thanking Him, if we're praying to Him, if we're standing in faith and rejoicing, there'll be a guard that comes around us because we'll have the peace of God. The peace of God. I'll just tell you, I mean, today we're facing some things that I'm with the church, and I'm building this house that I believe God's given us to build, and you know, it's been 2 years almost in the planning and the making and this permit and that permit and this permit. Well, inflation is hit in the middle of that. So what does that do to the lumber prices? What does that do to everything? And you just go, okay. And what you had set aside is now probably not going to do what it would have done. And you're going, okay, God, what now? But it's like, no, Lord. And if you get quiet enough and you talk to God about it, you get quiet enough, you'll hear this. I'm with you. Don't worry. I've got you covered. I'll take care of you. And so at that point, you have to go, okay, God, then I refuse to worry. And that peace, if you get quiet enough before God, I guarantee you, peace will come to your heart. And that peace will drive out the anxiety. It can't stay in the peace of God. It cannot stay. I like the peace of God. Let me tell you another story because I think it's just good. Instructor at Rhema, when I was going to Rhema, his name was Dr. Jerry Gross, and he was a podiatrist, but he became a teacher at Rhema. And his wife taught there too. Her name was Jerry. Dr. Gross, and he got a hold of these verses and on fear and anxiety, and he started to make that his goal is to be fearless, to, you know, no fear, no anxiety. I refuse it. But how did he do that? For months, he would go around quoting scriptures, fear not, for I'm with thee. Fear not, or do not have anxiety. And just quoting those scriptures over and over and over and over to himself, to where his mind was renewed to the fact that if God was with him, he didn't have a worry, he didn't have a care, he didn't have a fear. He's driving in Oklahoma in the wintertime, and I don't know if anybody has ever faced this, but they have ice storms. And when an ice storm comes, and this can happen, you know, like at 10 o'clock, everything's 5, but at 10:30, this comes through, and the roads are just a sheet of ice. It's one thing to drive on snow. It's a completely different thing to drive on this. I remember once I was sitting in a restaurant after class, and I was looking out at the road, and here comes this Volkswagen, and it was doing one of these in this ice storm. Well, anyway, back to Dr. Gross and his wife. They're driving down. They had one of those. This was back in the 80s, so they had one of those station wagons that were boats, you know, that they were real long and worldwide. They had one of those, and in the middle of this ice storm. And they're on the expressway, and all of a sudden they lost control, and they're going, do, 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 do. And you know, the wife is going, and she looked over at him. She got really mad. She looked over at him, and he was going. He let go of the wheel, which is, because in the midst of that, he still knew that God had him. But he put inside of him the scripture until fear and anxiety have no part of him. And the peace of God that passes all understanding guarded his heart and even guarded his mind. You see, putting that scripture on the inside and letting that come to become more real to him than anything else. When the thought of fear came, he said, I don't think so. Right? Because there was that guard. Now watch this. We have a pattern here of how you're supposed to think and what you're supposed to think. Look at verse 8. If finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's any virtue or if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Did you know that you meditate all the time? Meditate means to think about, to ponder. Sometimes it even means to mutter. We're always thinking about things. I can tell you, when I'm working on something and I've got a project going and you know, I'm thinking about ways to do it, if I'm not careful, I'll go to bed thinking, well, I need to do this, I need to do that, I need to do this, I could do it this way, I could do it that way, I could do it. What am I doing? I'm meditating on the job that I'm doing. Or if it's somebody's having this struggle, and what am I going to do about that? What did I do wrong? What did I write? All of those things. I'm thinking on things that probably aren't true. They may not be honorable. They may not be trustworthy, right? And so what he's saying here is if you want to be anxious for nothing, you have to force yourself to think on certain things and not think about other things. And to meditate on those things. So I need to think about. And when a thought comes to me, and especially if it's a thought that's bringing anxiety, I have to go through this checklist. Wait a minute. The devil said he's going to take me out. Is that true? Nope. You're out. In Colossians it says, let the peace of God rule as an umpire in your heart. That's the Amplified Version, but as an umpire. In other words, the peace of God, does this bring peace or not? If it doesn't bring peace, you're out. Right? And so, 1 Corinthians says, take every thought captive. Every thought captive. I got a lot of thoughts. And I'm a man. Women have three times as many thoughts as men, because we're just not that deep. But this is take every thought captive. What does that mean? It means you're responsible for what you're thinking. So if you put what you're thinking through this filter, we can have the peace that will guard our heart and mind. Is it true? Is it noble? Is it just? So whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. You know what? If you live by this, you can't gossip. If you live by this, you won't put up with any of that stuff. You won't put up with strife. You know, Proverbs, it says, if you throw out a scoffer, strife will stop. If you throw out a scoffer, strife will stop. A scoffer, somebody who's causing trouble, who's bringing up, is always saying things are bad, right? And in your own life, sometimes it's like, I just need to stay away from that person. Sometimes as a pastor that's hard to do, but sometimes you have to put people's speaking out of your mind. I knew this lady, and I actually loved this lady, and this is years and years and years and years ago. But if you went over and said, well, how are you doing? Oh my God, get ready. Because everything hurts, everything's wrong. And you'd have a half hour of hearing how bad things are. I finally started going in, and any time I'd see her, I'd say, isn't it great today? God is good. I would not ask her. I would tell her. Because I didn't want to let those thoughts come into my mind. So sometimes you have to guard yourself, right? But you have to guard your heart and your mind. But if you want these things to happen, then this is where you need to be. This isn't a suggestion. You know, this would be nice if you could just run through this filter. He's saying, look, if you want to live in the Lord, this is the pattern. This is what you need to do. He's later on in the chapter, and next week we'll get into that. He's going to talk about contentment. And he said this, I said it more than one place. He said, I've learned in whatsoever state I'm in, therein to be content. How did he learn that? By doing this. That's how he learned. He learned by doing this. He learned to figure out that people aren't my problem, and I'm going to begin to worship God. I'm going to begin to praise the Lord anyhow. I'm going to begin to thank Him in the midst of everything, and I'm going to run my thoughts through this particular process. We'll do one more verse, and then we'll quit for the night. The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. Again, it's not the sermon that you hear. It's really not the service that you've been in. It's not even your favorite preacher. It's, are you doing the principles that you've been taught? Because that's what's going to work. Glory to God. You know, how many people have you been around? Well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. Boy, there's some people. I want to be this and I want to be that and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, and they don't do anything. You know, again, that's one of those you just go, okay, whatever. But unless you do. And this is true with God on many things. God is our helper, and God does miraculous things for us, but I've found that most things that we're involved with God, He requires our action. Right? He said, but by prayer, rejoice. Those are our actions. Thanksgiving, that's our actions. But if we'll do them, The reward will be, we'll have His joy, we'll have His peace. Amen? Hallelujah. Next week we'll finish out the book of Philippians, hopefully. I'm not guaranteeing that, but we'll try. But I like doing this verse by verse because it kind of puts things in sequence and helps us so that we're not kind of jumping all over. But let's pray. Father, I thank You that You've allowed me to speak to Your valuable people tonight. I thank You that You value highly every person that's listening, whether it's here in the room or online. And God, I thank You that You're speaking to me right now. You're speaking to my heart. And I ask You, God, to just give us the understanding of what You're saying. And then, Lord, help us with our plan to put into action what You've taught us tonight. Lord, I thank You for reaching out to anybody who doesn't know You, Holy Spirit, and drawing them to Jesus. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, just give your heart to Him. Just say, Jesus, I need to turn my life around. I need a Savior. I ask Jesus to come into my heart. I repent of my sins. I ask You to forgive me, but I'm going to lay them aside and follow You. Whatever You want, whatever You ask, I'll do. If you'll do that and surrender to Him, your life will be forever changed, not just here on earth, but in eternity. Glory to God. Father, I just thank You for meeting every need of every person that's listening. I thank You, Father, for sending out Your healing power to them right now. I speak to depression. You've got to go in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank You that You've called us to be victorious in Christ Jesus. Father, there's nothing that can separate us from Your love. And I just speak peace over everyone who's listening in Jesus' name. Thank You for joining us. God bless you. Amen. 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 Amen.